Good evening, Pastor. Good evening, all. I'm very fine, thank God. And it's good to see you, Pastor.
Yes, good to see you on this side too, from your side to my side. And it's interesting, there's so many things from time to time, you've been sharing with me. And especially the feedback you give at times, I must tell you openly, it always blesses me because it seems like you always also see things from a unique dimension, looking at the Word of God anytime we study, anytime we share together. So I want to appreciate you for that. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you, within you. There's
Amen.
something you want to share with us tonight. So
Amen.
once again, people, we are ready. You are ready. The topic again is lessons from the drying brook, from the brook to the widow. So I will read 1 Kings chapter 17, where this is taken from, and then I will just do a quick summary from last week. If you remember, Samuel, some lessons we learned looking at the brook. The brook has an inlet, has an outlet. A brook is a flowing stream, a current that is flowing. And it's flowing, it's alive because it receives and gives. Our lives are like that. And the source of the brook determines the direction which the brook flows. And understanding that God is our source, He is our source, we must flow in the direction that He leads us. And primarily, God leads us by His word, which is what we learn from this man called Elijah. So I will read 1 Kings chapter 17. I will read down to verse 7, where we stopped last week. And then I believe you are taking us from there, from the drying brook to the widow. So that's from verse 8 down to, I believe, is it verse, where does this end? Verse 8 to 10. Okay. So let me read 1 Kings chapter 17 just to refresh our memory, to let us see how we as human beings, God is our source, like the flowing brook. If we want to be alive, if we want to keep flowing, we exist primarily two ways: through the supernatural, which is God our source, and the natural, which means we do what the supernatural tells us to do on this earth. God is the supernatural. Our obedience to what He tells us are the natural things we need to do. So 1 Kings chapter 17, and Elijah the Tishbite, and I am reading from the New King James Version. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand.'" Let's just pause there. Before whom he stands, that means the Lord God is his source. That's where he's drawing what he's about to say from. Elijah didn't just open his mouth one day and says, "There will be no rain nor dew except at my word." He drew that word from his source. He was only repeating what he received from God, his source. And that's basically what prophecy is. Just simply saying what God has said. And of course, fulfilling prophecy means we do what God says through his word. So verse 2, "Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, 'Get away from here, turn eastward, and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows from Jordan.'" And then we see an interesting thing there. So the supernatural gives him direction, and what did the man Elijah do naturally? The Bible says, after God spoke to him, "Get away from here, turn eastward, hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan." Let's see what, and he continues, "And it will be that you will drink from the brook." That's a natural thing he ought to do. The supernatural is go and hide by the brook. Natural, drink from the brook. And then the supernatural comes in again. "I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So God does the supernatural, we do the natural. Man shall not live by food, natural food alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's a combination of the two. Man was made by the supernatural and the natural. God spoke, Let's make man in our image. God came to the earth, formed the dust. So man is a combination of the two. So for us, mankind, to exist, people, we need the supernatural and we need to do natural things. So that's the crux of what we learned last week, and of course, staying connected with our source. So let's now see what happened. Verse 5, Elijah, the Bible says, so he went, did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan. And then, verse 6, the ravens supernaturally brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening. And what did Elijah do naturally again? He drank from the brook. Supernatural, he was fed by the ravens doing the impossible, feeding him. The natural, he drank. So a combination of the two kept Elijah alive. That's what keeps us alive, people. We do the supernatural. We live by the supernatural and the natural. And the Bible now says, verse 7, and it happened. Sir, there's something you are going to share with us tonight, which, honestly, I can't wait to hear. And also, one thing God was telling me after our discussion we had, the brief discussion we had earlier in the day, the Bible says, yeah, it happened after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The man, Elijah, sustained supernaturally and naturally, and the natural dries up at this point. Now, I remembered where we stopped last week. When the natural dries up, it's time to look up. Look up to the supernatural. So, Samuel, from verse 8, I'll hand over to you at this point, and maybe you want to speak into every heart a word you want to pray, and then you share with us from verse 8.
Okay. And let's just pray. Father, we thank you this hour. We thank you this time in your presence. You, Father, Lord, one of the things I always pray for when I'm hearing God's word is, Lord, speak to me much more than the speaker. Mm. Speak to my heart. Don't be limited by what the speaker is saying. Just speak to my heart. Lord, I'm also going to pray the same prayer, that as I speak, let your people hear much more than I say.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And as I lay my hands on myself, Lord, I flow like a river that never runs dry from your stream, oh God. Thank you, Father, that at the end of the day, it will not just be words, but it will be words that will be actioned, actually.
Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
So thank you, Pastor, first and foremost, for the privilege and such an honor to bring God's word to God's people. So, by this season, I mean not just this month, I mean this season, I know that God is actually addressing the issues of the heart, because the Bible says that out of it are the issues of life. So I know that God is about to address lives, because by addressing their hearts. And I remember a few months ago, I think it was Uncle Damola that was sharing about different kinds of hearts. And I think that was a starting point, you know, where he was basically talking about the word of God coming, same word of God coming to different hearts, but only one was able to receive it because the heart was good. So while I was studying and meditating this week and praying, I just had some time to worship and pray about this First Kings chapter 17. And there was something striking that I just want to share my thoughts. And basically what I'm going to do this evening is I'm going to basically use scriptures to interpret scriptures. So I'm not going to say things because it sounds right by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God. I'm going to say things the way God showed it to me, my meditations, the way God showed it to me. And when he showed it to me, I believe I'm the first partaker. So I began to pray in the Spirit. I began to pray in the Holy Ghost, because I need that same function. I need that same grace as an individual. So I'm just going to read, and then I'm going to show us two things that I found in the heart of this widow. So as told us about Elijah, he has one of the things that's so profound he said, which I wrote down, is that God will not build on incomplete obedience. I noted that down because it was very profound. And if you notice, it was when after Elijah obeyed the first one, God told him about the next one. So if he didn't obey the first one, there was no next assignment. And that was really profound for me. So in the path of Elijah, I saw someone's heart. I saw a heart that is ready to obey, a heart that is full of obedience. But there was something striking I saw in the heart of the widow that I'm just going to share with us. And as I'm sharing, I'm going to be referencing scripture. So basically, the scripture will just be interpreting what I'm saying. I'm just only going to echo. So I'm just going to read from verse 8. And the word of the Lord, I'm reading New King James Version as well. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a water in the cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, pause there. And as she was going to get it, now Elijah just met this woman. Now God had commanded Elijah. Now Elijah just met this woman and requested for water. And the woman, the next verse is, and as she was going to get it, what that tells me, and I'm going to show us in scriptures, certain things that just the way God has showed me. So when I read that, I paused for a while. I paused because I saw a woman whose heart was full of compassion despite her poverty. From the midst of her poverty, she was willing to show compassion. And how did I know by this statement? How did I just know that as she just by reading and as she was going to get it? If you just turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and I just want to, sorry, Matthew chapter 12, I'm just going to show us something quickly, and I will tie it up with why I was able to draw the conclusion by the Spirit of God that by that statement. So Matthew chapter 12 from verse 35, I'm just going to take it step by step so that we will get it. I just trust God that the way it was laid in my heart, that God will help us to also see it. So he says, "Brood of vipers." I'm not going to give us a brief of what happened, but I'm just going to stick to this context because I'm trying to show us why I said that her response was an act of compassion. Now see what he says: "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." It now says, "A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things." Now see, when I read this, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means my actions are representative of what I'm thinking. So what I wrote down, I said that my conscious, I'm just going to repeat this twice, my conscious and subconscious actions are a reflection of my heart. So that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, you act. So she acted based on it. Now she responded as she was going to get it. That means her heart was filled with compassion. Now I'm going to show two things I spotted in her heart just by her actions. And I already said that her actions, based on what Jesus himself said, that out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance, which also means out of the abundance of your heart, you act. So by her response, we're able to see that she was willing to show compassion. And I'm going to show why it is compassion. Why? Because just giving drinks, you know, Elijah came, Elijah asked for drink. And I'm going to, by the Spirit of God, I'm going to show some things about the benefits of having this kind of heart. So she said that, she did that rather, because it was an action, it wasn't a speech, but based on her heart produced a compassionate action. So that shows that she has compassion. And when I was checking, one of the meanings of mercy is showing compassion towards the distress. That was one of the meanings of mercy. So I could say that that woman have his heart was filled with mercy. And when I was going through that, I could say that it wasn't so much about God trying to feed the widow, simply just because God wants to feed the widow. That was, of course, that was the main goal, but God was actually looking for a channel, looking for the right heart to do the feeding. But it wasn't so much of the food. It wasn't so much of the hunger. It wasn't so much, for example, God was also telling me that God is not moved or pressurized or tensed by our tears or our pain or our circumstances, but he is moved by our heart, by the state of heart. That's what God was trying to show me. So, for example, this COVID-19 happened and a lot of Christians died. Doesn't make them less of a Christian, and it doesn't make God less of God. But God was basically saying there is something about the heart of man that draws me. And I'm going to, by God's grace, I'm going to share some of these things. So we can see that this woman has a compassion out of her poverty. Now, Elijah hasn't even said, "Thus saith the Lord." It was just his first conversation. All right? It was just his first conversation. And Elijah and this woman was willing to share from her own poverty. And I'm going to share some things as well on that. And then I'll continue. So I'll go back again. So the reason why I'm reading all this scripture is because I just want us to see that out of the abundance of your heart, your actions are evident. So out of the, I'm going to say what I said before, our conscious and subconscious actions are a reflection of our heart. So I will go back again to 1 Kings chapter 17. And I will continue from where I stopped. So it says, and as she was going to get it, he called her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat and die. Hold on. How can God, if it was about feeding, how can God send Elijah to somebody that's about to die? To eat and to have the intention. Is your poor? You have the intention to die, except that God wanted to show us something. There was something that God has seen in the heart of this woman that is attracting God's favor. Now, this second response of the woman, I'm just going to, just like I say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, actions are produced. By this same statement, shows her sincerity, shows her honesty. And what is the definition of truth? One of the definitions of truth is sincerity. That's why Jesus said, "The hour cometh where for true worshippers to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such." So the Lord is searching for people who is sincere, who is honest, who is truthful.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read this, I saw why God was. This woman was drawing God's attention, because I feel that, I'm just going to draw parallel from our day. I feel like the woman is not the only person going through worst case scenario. I mean, there might have been other people who have similar issues, who are going through, perhaps probably worse than what she's going through. But why did God single out this woman? It wasn't just simply because God wants to feed her, because God is sovereign. If God wanted to just feed the widow, Elijah was the wrong person to use, because Elijah was hungry too. And if God wanted to just feed Elijah, the widow would have been, the widow is the wrong person, because the widow is broke. The widow is about to die. The widow does not have the resources. Now, what that tells me is that God, now, before I go into the next phase, I just want to show us now, I've identified two things that was found in the heart of the woman based on her actions. Number one, her heart was filled with mercy. Number two, her heart was filled with truth. Now see, let's go to Proverbs Proverbs 3, because I just want, like I said, I just want scriptures to interpret itself. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. Now see what happens to somebody who has this kind of heart. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So God did not send Elijah to this woman because this woman had the resources. He sent her to her because this woman was filled with mercy and truth.
Come on.
He has seen someone who is going to show mercy and compassion despite her state.
Come on.
And those people, God cannot resist. God's eyes is fixed on people whose heart. And you know, mercy is not something you stumble on. Mercy is a journey. If you have been shown mercy, there's a stage it gets to your point, to your life where even your subconscious is compassionate, your reflex. So God has gone ahead. I remember God said, I have commanded a widow. How can God command somebody who does not have the resources? God said to me that I have commanded a widow because her heart is right with me. Her heart is full of mercy and truth. If I have your heart, I have your resources. I don't need your resources. I need your heart because I will make it a channel.
Come on.
So the main focus was that this woman must have been forgot to use this medium. Remember, we just read, Pastor, you just read when you said that, you know, we just saw it from the Bible where God used a supernatural means to feed Elijah. You know, he used a super, so God is sovereign. He can do anything. He can use any means. But God wanted to show us some of the things that attracts him to us, him to us. And he says, let no mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. God must have seen this woman's heart and seen somebody who is living a practice of mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. God will command a heart that is filled with mercy and truth. God will command a heart that is filled with mercy and truth. Because I remember Uncle Damola was saying about good hearts. It's not so much of the word of God coming to us. It's so much about the heart receiving it.
Come on.
It's not so much of the same word of God went out to different grounds, different soil, but the same word of God. But only one, it produced result, only one. Why? Because of the state of the heart. So God was basically telling me that, see, I'm not moved by all these things. I'm not, I can feed, it. The Bible says a cattle on 1,000 hills are his. The fullness of the earth is his. That means that he doesn't need to do, he doesn't need our resources, if he, you know, to be able to do what he has to do. He needs our heart. So what that tells me is that God will not send someone to me necessarily because of my resources or send me to someone necessarily because of my resources, but because of the state of my heart. So if my heart is right, if my heart is filled with mercy and truth, I will naturally obey. God can command obedience in my heart. So that's why God said, I have commanded the widow to feed you. Not because the widow has the resources. Not because the widow, you know, can actually afford these things. I mean, this widow was about to die. The thought in her head is, let me just eat and die because she has nothing. She was even standing in her own brook. She was standing in her own drying brook. Her brook was dry because she has her final meal. She was done and dusted. But even in that state, and I began to pray, Lord, let no mercy and truth. Because I know beyond any shadow of doubt that if these things abound in my life, that there is no way God cannot resist but look at me. God cannot resist but favor me. And if you know the, we know the end of the story, because that's the, you know, the favor, the result is not the focus, but the heart is the focus. Pastor, I've talked about what was found in Elijah's heart, which was obedience, complete obedience. And what was found in this woman's heart was a woman who was filled with mercy and truth, sincerity, even in her poverty. even in her poverty, she was willing to share. She was willing to show compassion to a man. Perhaps she doesn't even know Elijah before. Perhaps she knows, but that doesn't matter. If your heart is right, it doesn't matter who the person is.
Come on.
Because God is all about the heart of us. And because he knows that the issues of life is sprung forth from the state of our heart.
Hmm.
And we have entered a season. There was something that Uncle Wizzy said. We are talking about Dream Group. We don't know whether there's a season coming. I don't know the state we are at different levels. But this is what attracts God's favor. Mercy is what attracts God's favor. So I don't know which state we are at. I don't know which state our heart is right now. Whether it's a state of insincerity, we don't show mercy, or we show mercy, incomplete mercy. We show we can forgive, but we don't show compassion. We can forgive, but the person cannot come to us or cannot do anything anymore. But God is addressing the statements of our heart, telling us that from obedience, I'm showing you someone that I can't resist, someone who shows mercy and truth. I can't resist. Jesus said, I am seeking for true worshipers who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such, because they are very important. And I was coming from work this evening. When I was meditating, one of the things God said, God, I believe it was still the Holy Spirit speaking to me. He said, if you have two people, one is filled with the mercy and truth, and one is just generally crying, oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, help me with tears. God's attention will naturally move to the one whose heart is filled with mercy and truth than the one who is crying.
Hallelujah.
Not because he's wicked, but because he's showing me the priority of his word. He was showing me the priority, how he has placed his word such that he always honors those who obey and keep it.
Come on.
More than those who are crying. And I was sharing in brother's prayer, one of the prayer meetings, I think the last one. And I said that if it was by tears, I am pretty sure we'll be on the long list before it gets to our turn, because I don't know how to cry. Before it gets to my, if God was moving by tears, before it gets to my turn, I don't know whether I will still be alive, but he's moved by our action. So now these words are not just to make us feel condemned, but it's to check our hearts. Because for God, God does not make mistakes. God cannot lie. For him to use these methods, God, one of the things I've known over the years with God is it's very intentional. He doesn't just do anything or put things there or inspire men to write things for the right sake of it. These things are for our instructions. Now, the widow, based on her response, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
Based on her actions, the first action spoke volumes of words that she was filled with truth. The second response shows her sincerity and honesty, which is what Proverbs 3 is talking about. Let no mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and you will find favor.
Come on.
No matter the dryness you are. When COVID-19 happened, people always cry in crisis. It's a normal phenomenon. People always, seek God. But Pastor was sharing how that in the COVID time, the rate statistics shows that people sought after God more, than any time. That shows that in time of crisis, people are crying out for God. But there are some people who has God's attention. There are some people who God cannot turn his face away. In the midst of crisis, he can't turn his face away. And I began to pray, Lord, increase my bowels of mercy in this season. If I've been producing 30 folds, increase it to 60, increase it to 100 folds. Because I want to get your attention. I want to get your attention. In the midst of whatever season is coming, I think this is the best time to turn it into a 2-minute prayer before Pastor comes in. That the Lord will increase our bowels of mercy and truth.
Thank you, Lord.
Our bowels of mercy and truth. That the Lord will increase our bowels of mercy and truth. Because we have seen, oh God, that by your spirit, you are drawn to people who show mercy and truth.
Yes, Lord.
You are drawn. The Father seeks it. He always searches. He's hovering around the earth. He's hovering around the earth. He's hovering around the United Kingdom. He's hovering over Nigeria. He's hovering over from wherever part you are to spot somebody whose heart is filled with mercy and truth.
Yes,
to
Lord.
Show himself strong on their behalf. To show himself strong on their behalf. God was telling me that I don't need your resources. I need your heart. If I have your heart, I have your resources.
Yes,
if I have your heart, I can command obedience. If I have your heart, I have your attention. And if I have your heart, you have my attention.
Mm.
That's what God was saying to us. And that's what I believe God is saying to us this season. It's a heart affair. Because our life will spring forth from this standpoint. It is a heart affair. It is not a joke that we're just talking about heart and heart. God sees the heart. And the truth is, if you are honest with God, you cannot be dishonest with man. You can deceive the man, but you and God knows that you are not honest. You can tell the man, you can be dishonest to the man, and the man thinks, okay, he's just telling me the truth. But you and God knows that you, if you are dishonest, if you are insincere, if you are insincere, you are depriving yourself of the favor of God. Depriving yourself of the favor of God. So it is not about trying to, you know, trying to tick the box with people and trying to be on that good books and, you know, don't want to be, you are trying to use insincerity to make them. God is seeing our heart. He's the, he's the judge. If he's rewarding, he rewards based on actions, based on the heart. And we've also seen that by our actions, by our conscious actions and our subconscious actions, the state of our heart is revealed. The state of our heart is revealed. I don't know where which stage we are. Father, increase my bowels of mercy. I've been praying this prayer since when Pastor said, oh God, I'm coming on. I've been praying this prayer when God started showing me these things. Father, it's beyond words. I know there is a season coming. You have shown us the path. Walk in mercy, walk in truth, walk in mercy, walk in truth. Show compassion, be full of compassion, be full of truth. If you are full of truth, if the pressures of life come, your natural response will show these things. And trust me, you get my attention. You get my attention. You get my attention. Father, I thank you. Father, I bless your name. I thank you. Because we are abounding in mercy and truth, even in this season. We are abounding in mercy and truth. Because out of our good treasure of our heart, we will produce good things. Out of the good treasure of our heart, out of the abundance of our heart, our actions will show forth. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Our actions will show forth. Our actions will show forth. I will be good, oh God. And Lord was even saying further that some people don't even have compassion towards me. The word of God doesn't even prick me. Some people, God was even going further to say that the work of God does not even, some people are very unconcerned. They don't show, you know, you can show compassion towards God and his work. And when instructions are given, your heart is there.
Come on.
God can count on you to show up for him. Some of us think that God doesn't need us that like that. Oh, it's God. He needs us. He needs us. We are a vessel. God can't do so much on this earth without a vessel. Same with the devil. Man is so important to God. At the same time, we are indispensable. So I don't know which category we belong. Whether it's showing mercy towards one another, showing mercy towards God, we can't be dull of hearing, uninterested about the things of God. It's a lack of mercy. It's a lack of compassion towards his work. It's a lack of compassion towards his work. So Lord, search our hearts.
Thank you, Lord.
And help us. Pastor, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Sir,
interpretation.
There is something so profound. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I believe the Spirit of God was bringing this scripture back to me.
Thank you.
It says in verse 25.
Thank you.
Verse 25 of Luke chapter 4. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, but in truth, I say to you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came up over the land. And yet, was not Elijah sent by the Lord to a single one of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. There were many widows in that Zarephath. Many.
Thank you, Jesus.
But only one, God saw her heart. Not her resources. You shared some profound things. It's not my resources God is looking at to use. It's my heart. And I like what someone posted. I think Josephine Gazalaros. If God has my heart, he has my resources. Yeah. And I heard further. You see, if God has my heart, then he has my resources. But then I heard further. If God has my heart and sees that my heart is full of truth and mercy, I will have God's resources.
Hallelujah.
I will have access to God's resources. I then become a channel through which God's divine resources flow. Sir, I can identify with this. I am telling you. And people too can identify. I'm sure some people. You have a heart to do good. You have a heart. You want to do this. You will see our resources. The resources will flow to you.
Absolutely.
Not what you have, but the heart that God sees. God will cause resources to flow to you. A heart that is full of compassion. A heart that has compassion even for God, for the things of God.
Yeah.
God is not moved by our condition, physical state, our tears. No. Is moved by the state of our heart.
Yes,
if our heart is filled with mercy, is filled with compassion, is filled with the truth, his word.
Yes.
My goodness.
Yes.
It says we will find favor. Good favor.
Yes.
Good will begin to flow to us, through us, to people. This is profound. I pray in the name of Jesus, please,
thank
people
you,
all over the place, let us pray. Somebody said it's a heart affair. It is indeed a heart affair. Yes, put on, therefore, bowels of mercies. There's a scripture that says that. Thank you, Ezekiel Urien, for sharing that scripture. It's something we intentionally, deliberately have to start doing, people. Let our hearts be filled with compassion. Let our hearts be full of mercy with the truth of the word of God.
Yes.
Enough of tears. Enough of telling God our condition. God knows our condition.
Yes,
God
Lord.
Knew the condition of that widow.
Yes.
God didn't look at her resources. There was even no resource. Thank you, Lord Jesus. She was by her own drying brook.
Yes.
People, this is from the drying brook to the widow. From one drying brook to another drying brook. But we see it is the heart. A heart that is ready to do the word of God. A heart that is ready to surrender to the will of God. A heart that is ready to receive and flow in the direction of its source. Of its source. And that is God. Father, we thank you for the word we've heard tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for revealing our hearts to us, even through this word.
And
someone rightly also put it, the drying brook is a good time and place to reveal our hearts. Father, thank you for bringing us to this drying brook. Thank you for bringing us to this study.
Thank
you, Lord, for your son that you have spoken to and spoken through. Lord, we receive everything you are saying. I re-examine my own heart. You said, let everyone examine our hearts to see if we're in the faith. You said, if the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find hearts that are filled with compassion? Hearts that are full of mercy. Hearts that are full of truth. Not just full, but ready to do, ready to flow in the direction of compassion. The Bible says Jesus was always moved with compassion. Yes. People, we are moved by what we are full of. We are moved by what we are full of. When we are filled with the Spirit, like we see in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Spirit and they spoke. They were led by the Spirit. It is what fills us that leads us. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray tonight, fill my heart with your love. Fill my heart with your truth. Fill my heart with your compassion, with mercies. I put on bowels of mercy. Lord, where I have not shown mercy, help me. I surrender. I surrender. Lord, I want to flow where you are flowing. You are my source. Lord, I pray tonight, everyone, including myself, Lord, I connect to you, my source. I connect to you.
Thank you,
Lord, and I put on the bowels of mercy. I want to be a blessing to humanity. I want to flow where you flow. I want to do what you say. I want to obey you. Help me. Help me. The Bible says if you are willing, if you are obedient, then you will eat the good of the land. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Willingness is an act of our own decision. If we are willing, we must first be willing to be obedient. That means we surrender our will to do what the truth of the word of God says. I pray in the name of Jesus. The enemy will not steal this word from our hearts. Lost circumstances, pressures of life, deceitfulness of riches will not steal this word from our hearts. But our hearts, Lord, will be that good ground, what you have spoken. Lord, that has given us faith through your word tonight. We will not be forgetful hearers. We will be doers. Do us in the name of Jesus. Ah, Lord Jesus, thank you for this word. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, I just pray, Lord, beyond what you have spoken, expound your word more. Even as Samuel has said, beyond what you are saying, Lord, thank you for even speaking to me right now. Thank you for speaking to me right now. Thank you for showing me, Lord, the things that I need to do, the track that I need to continue. Lord, this is a word of comfort. This is a word of encouragement. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. This is profound, sir. This is profound. I'm just trying to see people's comments. Thank you for those contributing. This is something. Jesus. It's indeed a heart affair. It's a heart affair. Let us examine our hearts. Thank you so much for this, Samuel. I'm just trying to see people's comments and people's contributions, both on Facebook and both on the YouTube live feed. Thank you, everybody, those who are contributing. I'm just trying to see if we have some of these comments. And I see, yes, remember, I tell you what I'm taking, strong thing I'm taking here. If God has my heart, definitely my resources, he has my resources. But if God sees that my heart is filled with truth, mercies, then I have his resources. He will cause his resources to flow to me and through me. That's what we see from that widow.
Yes, so profound.
It wasn't our condition. It wasn't our resources. It was our heart. Thank you. Lord. God will command a heart that is full of goodness and truth.
Yes. Because
when I've read it too, sir.
Yes.
The Bible said, God said, I have commanded a widow.
Yeah.
Can God say that about us?
Yeah.
And when he gives us a command, he knows we will obey.
Hmm.
Can God say that about me? That when, you know what? He tells me to stop what I'm doing right now. He tells me to stop that meeting that I planned and go in this direction. I'm going to do this. Am I ready to stop what I'm about to do? Look at that widow.
Yeah.
When you look at the agenda she had that day, it was to go and cook the last meal.
Yeah.
But God stopped her. Is someone listening ready to stop what you planned and let God interrupt you? Because at times, sir, we can be so rigid.
Yeah.
rigid in our own ways, set in our own ways, set in our own plans. This is what I plan to do. Meanwhile, God is crying. God is looking for a yielded vessel who will do something for someone who will be a blessing. And there's no way you'll be a channel that you will not be first partaker.
Yeah.
Like you shared with us.
Absolutely.
I can see that you didn't come tonight to just share a revelation. Mm. It's flown into you, through you. It's passed through you. You have practiced it. You've seen it.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for that.
Thank
just
you.
Looking at comments. Let's go to slide.do. Thank you, everybody all over the place, for your comments and participation. There's something here we'll just quickly look at. The Bible says, someone says, what can we say about conscious, pretentious actions that seem good, but the heart or spirit is wrong? So that's a question, and I believe a sincere question for somebody's heart. I don't know if you understand that question. Next week, we will look in depth at more questions and answers. But it says, what can we say about conscious? This is conscious, but pretentious action, but seem good, but the heart or spirit is wrong. I don't know if you want to say something about that.
Okay, so I presume the person is saying the person is trying to put up a good front, a good show, and the intentions is wrong or the spirit is wrong.
Mm.
First and foremost, what is filling that person? And when we talk about being sincere, we are basically looking at it from the standpoint of God, because man, you can't know who is sincere.
Mm.
You don't have what it takes to see somebody's heart and know their heart. So we all fall prey, you know, into different of these things. But when we talk about sincerity, we are looking at it from the standpoint of God. So if you are sincere with God, you cannot be insincere with man. So if God, you are being honest to God, because of what we read about out of the abundance of your heart, that's pretense. I'm pretty sure it was he was doing it for to get something in return.
Mm.
He was doing it to get, and you know the thing, one of the things that God told me also is that, sir, this afternoon is that one of the challenges we are having is we show mercy to people that we think can give show us in return many times.
Come on.
So
come on.
But that was not the yardstick for God. When God says, give to those who cannot give you back, that's the marker for mercy. That's the marker for compassion. So when you have a mind that, I'm looking for this person, I'm always showing, doing compassion for this person, it's for a purpose. It's for you already have an agenda.
That's right. What's your motive?
So you already have your agenda. Man may not see your motive. That's why the emphasis here is sincerity. Now, God is the one searching, not man. Mm. God
That's
is
right,
the one
sir.
Going about
That's
seeking
right, sir.
For true worshippers, for true someone whose heart is filled with mercy, not man. Man might, the widow might deceive Elijah. But God made the choice. He knows whose heart.
Hmm.
Is not man. So if you can't fake these things, you can fake it with man, but you can't fake it with God.
That's right, sir.
So with man, you know, you say with time always reveal your true intention.
Mm.
You know, if you are faking a wrong action, just give it time.
Mm.
The person will soon see that the person is pretending to be true.
Mm.
Or when we talk about these things, we are actually saying that God is the one searching. God is the one. God is showing favor through men. God, you must get God's favor before you get man's favor. It is God that will turn the man to favor you.
That's right, sir.
So you can't, you know, you can't, if you get any favor you get from a man that is not from God first, it will soon be short-lived.
That's right. Very true.
But the one that God is talking about is favor from God.
That's right. You know, when the Bible was describing Jesus in Luke, it said the child grew in stature, in wisdom, in favor with God and man.
Yeah.
So God first. So no matter, and what you said, very, very profound. Let's not forget it is God who searches.
Yeah.
It's God who's scanning. It's God who sees the heart. you cannot deceive God, even if you succeed in deceiving yourself.
Absolutely.
So the actions can be good, but is the heart good? The action can be good, but what's the motive?
Yeah.
You know, when God dealt with me about this, and I thank God that God dealt with me even before I began to pastor people. When I was 25 years old, this is a story I will keep saying till my last breath. And I went on a retreat and I asked God to speak to me. And he took me to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Very funny. I was 25 and he took me to 2 Chronicles 25 and he spoke to me about a 25-year-old king. He says Amaziah was 25 years old. 2 Chronicles 25 verse 1 and 2. He was 25 years old when he became a king. He reigned for 29 years. He gave his mother's name as Jehoiada. Verse 2, he says he did that which was right. Listen, in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart, not with a sincere heart, not wholeheartedly. And if you read the things he did, and God showed me my heart when I was 25. I was already in the church, serving, doing everything. In fact, if you saw me in that church, sir, you will say I'm the most faithful brother in that church. Why? First to get there, last to leave. Set up, help everything, and I was already, you know, supernaturally playing the keyboard, set up the choir. I was everywhere. The pastor, everybody, I mean, people looked up to me. But then God showed me my heart. I wept. I wept and I wept. And I wept. And I remembered, I said, God, please do a heart surgery. Give me that right heart. Yes. Every time I remember that incident, I'm weeping on the inside.
Yes, Lord.
It helps me to always examine myself. Am I doing what is right? In the sight of God? Because that means people too will see that I'm doing what is right. But not with a sincere heart. Not wholeheartedly. People, let's examine our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Let us, the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth. He said he wants to show himself strong.
Thank you, Jesus.
On those whose heart is sincere, perfect towards him. So that is that. Thank you for that question. And then there's another one. Next week we will look in depth at questions. He says, is it not possible? Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah.
You know, just like Samuel was saying, look, he doesn't want to say anything that's outside the Bible. Let him use scriptures to answer scriptures. From what this person said, what did God himself say? These people, he said their mouth. They worship it with their mouth, but their heart is far from it. So it is possible that that's the answer. So that's why let us ask God to always search our hearts. Psalm 139. Search me. Try me, O God. See if there's any wicked way in me. And just put me in the way and to the pathway of life everlasting. It's a heart affair, people. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
I think those are the two. Next week, by the grace of God, we will examine the everything God's been speaking to us about, standing beside the drying brook, what we've learned, the lessons beside the brook. We've taken it one step further from the brook to the widow. Next week, we will look at more questions. I pray over our hearts that our hearts will be right. Our hearts will be where God, his word, will locate us. For his glory, and we will become channels. Our hearts will have access to his resources in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Samuel.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Really, really thank you. Please, everybody, let's celebrate our brother. Thank you so much. I have seen you. And, you know, apart from your actions,
you,
I can say this, you know, testifying. There's something I perceive around you, and you know, I remember meeting you first time, and we had to scrutinize you very well before we we encourage our sister, our daughter, to marry you. So far, you are doing well.
Thank you. So thank
please
you,
continue with the right heart.
Thank you.
I
Father.
See in you, and I'm saying this, I'm praying for you at the same time, Samuel.
Thank you.
I just see in you a man who is sincere.
Thank you, Jesus.
I see in you a man who doesn't, you know, deceive himself.
Yes,
and much more, I see someone who's ready to do the will of God. I see someone who is obedient.
Thank you, Jesus.
I see someone who, when he's not sincerely ready, he's not ready.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I see someone who doesn't deceive himself.
Thank you,
you know, continue on this pathway.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I pray that God's resources, because I knew your condition, I knew your meager resources, I knew it before you got married, and I see where you are today. God bless you real good. God bless your wife, your daughter.
Thank you.
And God bless you for looking after, you know, your mother, your mother-in-law. God bless. I know they're all watching. And I pray that God's resources will keep flowing to you.
Amen.
And, your heart will continue to be filled with truth and mercy.
Amen.
And, Father, I pray for myself.
Yes, Lord.
That we've spoken to me tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, be it unto me according to your word.
Amen.
And I pray for everyone too. That we've spoken to every one of us.
Thank
be
it
unto us according to your word.
Thank you, Jesus.
I pray for someone tonight.
Thank
please.
You,
and I'm using the word please. I beseech you.
Thank you,
I beseech you, be sincere, be truth, be truthful to yourself. Stop deceiving yourself.
Thank you.
Stop deceiving your heart.
Yes, Lord.
Don't let your heart be deceptive and desperate.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that everything that is not of God planted in that heart will be uprooted.
Amen.
But much more, apart from the uprooting, tonight, Lord, create in us a clean heart, every one of us, including myself.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
You
next week, people, we will be coming back.
Thank you.
Questions, answers, looking in depth from lessons beside the drying brook, from the widow to the brook. And you know something, Samuel, something interesting that I saw, but we'll leave it between now and next week.
Yes,
when we come back. You know, that woman experienced another drying brook.
Mm.
We will look at that in depth.
Yes, sir.
To God be the glory. Final word from you, sir.
No, nothing. I'm just glad that that scripture you read look for just sums up, you know, when I was saying that she was not probably the only widow who had issues.
Was it?
It just shows that the Spirit of God is one and God is that's all, sir.
Thank you, Jesus. We prayed that we will hear much more than you're saying.
Yes, Lord.
And that was an answer to your prayer. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for those on this live feed. Thank you for those who watch the recorded. The word of God will remain fresh. Keep receiving, keep giving. Keep hearing, keep doing. God bless you.
Amen.
And see you same time next week.
Amen.
As we hand over to the media team.